Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. I guess today is Super Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. And so whenever, amen, it's going to be a good night. But it's funny because Spencer, one of our sound engineers, was putting my mic on today. He goes, well, Pastor Craig, who are you pulling for today? And I said, well, I'm pulling for Kansas City. He goes, well, then why are you wearing Philadelphia Eagles colors? There was an afternoon. I don't know. I wasn't thinking about it. But you can realize that, you know, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, diehard Dallas Cowboy fan. You know, win, lose. We just hired the best coach in the nation. Never mind. We won't even go there. But anyway, you know, it's really hard to pull for the Philadelphia Eagles when you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, when you're in the same division, whatever. And, of course, so. But, you know, the great thing, actually, I've been watching, you know, different things on social media. To see the number of both Eagles and Chiefs that have been giving glory to God. You know, it's just so awesome to see, you know, our athletes now that are more outspoken about their relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, and you know, a lot of times we hear someone, you know, say something about God, but, you know, many of them I see, you know, they talk about, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, being saved. You know, it's awesome to see when Ohio State won the national championship. You know, the things, of course, we've read about all the things going on. I mean, there's a revival going on in colleges around the world, amen. And, you know, I know it's an awesome time. Amen. Well, what not as an awesome time is Oklahoma is one of the top 10 states for the flu right now. In fact, I just read from the Oklahoma Department of Health that the flu rate is rising, but so is the healing rate. Amen. So today we're going to have a healing service because everyone I know, not everyone I know, but so many people I know that are sick, you know what? We need to get healed because we got Winter Bible Seminar coming up and we don't want you snotting and coughing on everybody and things like that, you know. And of course, my grandfather has a book out there called Healing Belongs to Us. And actually, I spoke on that like 2 years ago. Actually, I can tell you, January 29th, 2023. And so we're going to talk about that today. We're actually going to go back to the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. And it says this. Now, this is 700 years before Jesus died on the cross. 700 years it was prophesied. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. You know what? Jesus Christ took your sickness and disease 2,000 years ago, took it to the cross, took the stripes on his back, and by his stripes you were healed. Not you're going to get healed, but you were healed. And that's the thing about it is we have to have the mentality that we're not going to get sick, that we are healed. Because, you know, so many of us, we get the sickness mentality. I don't know how many times I've heard people even say here recently, well, everyone's getting the flu. I guess I'm going to get the flu. Well, just because everybody's going to get the flu doesn't mean you're going to get the flu. Just because everyone's jumping off a mountain doesn't mean you're going to jump off a mountain too. All right? I mean, you know, the thing about it is our mentality is, well, you know, stay away from me because you're coughing and you have the flu and, you know, whatever. I don't care if you have the flu, have Cody's, have Cody's cooties. Or whatever you might have, it doesn't mean that you need to stay 6 feet apart from them and, you know, and hide from them and put your mask on and your shield and all these kind of things. Who cares what everybody else is going through? You know what? You know, it's up to you. Jesus Christ already took care of your sickness. It was prophesied 700 years before it happened that it was going to happen, and it's already happened 2,000 years ago. But so many of us, we think sickness. We think about, oh, man, everyone's getting sick. Everyone's getting sick. You know, why can't everyone get healed? Well, you know, we don't think about that. Well, you know, you know, the one thing too, I've been using the same thing. My grandfather would never say that sicknesses are coming upon him. He would say symptoms are trying to come upon him. And I've even said that a couple of times. I said, you know, flu symptoms are trying to come on me. Now, just trying to come on me doesn't mean that I have to have it.
But see, our mentality is usually whenever flu symptoms come on, so you know what the first thing you say was, well, I have the flu. Well, you know what? You can have what you say. We know that around here. Whatever you say you have, you can have. What are you speaking? What are you talking? How are you speaking? How are you thinking? You know, what is your thought? You know, because so many times that whenever, just because we are in the top 10 in the nation for flu things. Now, interesting about it is COVID barely exists anymore. That's just surprising. I don't know why, but that's a whole nother thing. But flu rates are skyrocketing. You know, just because flu rates are skyrocketing doesn't mean you have to have it. It doesn't mean you have to have a flu shot. If you want to get a flu shot, get a flu shot. That's up to you, all right? Last time I got a flu shot, I got the flu worse than I've ever had it before in my entire life. That was my last flu shot I got. That's like 7-8 years ago. You know, I don't need a flu shot. I have Jesus Christ who died upon the cross, who took the stripes on his back. And the Bible clearly says that by his stripes, I was healed. It doesn't say I'm going to get healed. See, people are waiting for their healing. You know, I don't know how many times that are people, they think, well, I'm just waiting and I'm praying for my healing. No, you don't wait and pray for your healing. You've already been healed. The Bible doesn't say that if you pray hard enough, if you give enough money, if you do this, then you'll be healed. It says that Jesus Christ, he carried our sickness 2,000 years ago. He carried it to the cross. Even before we were sick, we were made healed. We were made whole 2,000 years ago. But our mindset now is we're looking at how we feel. But see, you know, we're not moved by how we feel. The Bible doesn't say to be moved by how you feel. It says to speak things into existence. Just because symptoms are trying to come on you doesn't mean you have to take them. All right, just because someone comes to your door and knocks doesn't mean you have to answer it. That's why you have a Ring camera nowadays. And in fact, the great thing about it is you can tell them to go away if you want to. You can speak to them. That's the funniest thing is if you know that your husband or wife is outside, you know, standing on the front porch, you can scare the fire out of them sometimes by speaking through your Ring camera, because I've done it before a couple of times. You know, so anyway, it's kind of just interesting. You know, you're like, this is God. Get off my porch. No. I don't know. See, my brain just thinks about these kind of things and I have to say it. So I'm sorry. It had nothing to do with healing. Anyway, now, of course, we obviously know that 1 Peter 2:24 says it this way in the New Testament. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The New Living says it this way, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. So we were healed, we are healed, we is healed. We are healed in the Old Testament. We're healed in the New Testament. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ has already healed us. You know, and that's the thing. Whenever you're coughing and whatever, you know what? You need to say, I've been healed. I'm already healed. I don't care if people think you're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs or whatever, because you know, you're talking about healing whenever you're coughing and snotting. But the Bible doesn't say that, you know, sickness doesn't belong to us. Healing belongs to us. Sickness comes from the devil, El Diablo. We don't have to accept it. Just because, you know, like I said, he mails us a package, comes to our door, you know, doesn't mean, and even if you open the door, you can still close it in his face. You know, but what is our mentality? That's the thing. I think everything starts with your mentality whenever sickness and disease is around. You know, so many times when someone gets diagnosed with a terrible disease, they think about worst case scenario. Worst case scenario. You know, and like I said, that if you don't want something, don't say you have it. I mean, I don't want to say I have the flu or I have a cold or I have cancer or I have anything. Now, the doctors don't help. All right, just because, you know, obviously most of you have known that I've dealt with some kidney issues. You know, and my kidney numbers are normal, but my doctor won't even tell me I'm healed. My doctor will tell me I'm in remission. And I know, you know, another situation where somebody, you know, the doctors had told them through prayer and through chemo and different things like that, they told them they're cancer free. And then the next statement is, but we have seen this kind of cancer come back. All right. Well, you know what? You know, I know that sometimes you want to see a good sequel, but this is not one you want to see. I mean, you know, and most of the time the sequels aren't as good as the original, except for Top Gun. I really liked the new Top Gun. I thought that was a really good one, you know. But, you know, the deal is just because somebody, you know, just because comebacks are always good doesn't mean that you need to have a comeback sickness. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes whenever the doctor says it might come back, you know what your brain's always thinking? It's going to come back. It's going to come back. It's going to come back. Well, you know, I got 5 years, I got 10 years, or whatever. No, you need to shut up and quit thinking those kind of things. You know, and that's one thing, too, which is very unusual for me. This is one of the most unusual things, you know, because most people know that I'm really into God and the Google. You know, I'm a Googleologist. And people don't know what a Googleologist is. That's the person that will research to the 21st page in Google, and I've actually done that. I've actually counted 21 pages that I've looked at different things, you know. And so when the doctor, I still have not ever even looked up everything about the so-called kidney disease that I was diagnosed with. Even to this day. You know, and the big reason why is because I didn't want to research something that was not going to happen, so that would be just a waste of my time, even though I do waste my time researching a lot of other things. But, you know, the thing about it is, why research something that's not going to happen? Now, if you research it, because if you do research it, because other people did research it, it'll say things like, you know, you might lose a kidney, you might end up on dialysis, and blah, 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 blah. Well, those aren't good things. It's kind of like, you know, those advertisements for different different products, what do you call it, pharmaceutical products, and they go through the long list of things that could happen. And I love the last one, including death. I mean, like, who wants to take your medicine if including death is a possible side effect? You know, but anyway, you know, the deal is sometimes that the more we research something and the more we concentrate on it, then the more we're thinking about the worst case scenario. Whether it be sickness, whether it be, you know, whatever it might be, the back of our brain is thinking about the worst case scenario. When we already have Bible, Old Testament and New Testament scriptures that say we were healed. So, you know, why are you questioning Jesus? Do you realize it wasn't Jesus just magically said you're healed? Jesus took the stripes on his back. And like I said, no matter what kind of, you know, portrait you've ever seen or movies you've ever seen about the crucifixion and the stripes being laid on his back, and I know that the Passion of the Christ, I mean, you know, received a worse rating because of the crucifixion scene. The problem is, or the thing is, it was more bloodier than they showed. You know, and, you know, people say it's gross, but that blood was shed for you. That blood was shed so you don't have to have the flu, so you don't have to have cancer, so you don't have to have this, so you don't have to have, you know, we have been healed, the Bible says. It doesn't say we're going to get healed, it says we have been healed. And that's the thing, that people are going to get something. Well, if you're going to get something, that's not faith. Faith already has it. Hope is going to get it. And many people, they think they're in faith, but they're really hoping and praying. They're because faith is present tense. The Bible even says it in Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is. When faith comes in, it is. See, faith believes what it believes. You know, you have what you say. We've learned that many, many years around here. But what happens is it's too many times that we're saying the wrong thing. We're saying things we don't want to have. If you don't want to have it, don't say it. Don't speak into existence. Don't talk about things. You know, many people talk about, well, I never have enough. Things are too expensive. I never can afford it. You know what? You keep talking like that, you're never going to be able to afford it. You're never going to have enough. You're always going to be in the hole. Why? Because you speak that into existence. What are you saying? You can have what you say you have. And if you don't want to have the flu, quit talking about it. You know, whatever we talk about, whatever we think about is in our mind. You know, and the thing about it is, what you need to do before you go to sleep, don't think about anything, because whatever you think about, you're probably going to dream it for the whole night, you know. So just don't think about anything. Or just think about how much money you have and, you know, that everything's awesome. Anyway, Mark 9:23 says it this way, and Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, we know that scripture, but, you know, we don't think about the if part. The if part is you. Now, you can have what you believe if you believe. Now, just because you say it doesn't mean you believe it. All right? There's saying things and there's believing things. Many people say things. Many people make positive confessions, but they don't really believe it. They're saying it because someone told them to. They're saying it because they think they need to say it because, you know, and I always joke about people say, well, this is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And then we go downstairs and gripe at our kids, gripe at our spouse. We go to work, gripe at our coworkers or your employees or whatever. You know, you don't sound like you're having the day that Jesus wants you to have. All right. Yeah, but you said this is a day, Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad. But the problem is, if you say we're going to rejoice, then start rejoicing. You know, be a doer of the word. You know, but a lot of times we confess things, and a lot of times we don't even think about what we confess. It's just like sometimes. Have you maybe ever, you know, maybe some song comes on that when you're in high school and you start singing, you think, man, I never thought about those words that I used to be singing. You know, you don't think about it, but you know. And so sometimes we don't think about it, when, you know, what we say. Now, when we say something that we don't want, we can always do one of these take backs. And, you know, the best example I have of that is something my grandfather did. And it was the, you know, interesting. And I can tell you, I believe it was a Saturday, but I don't really know what day. What day doesn't really matter. Don't know what year. Because, you know, everyone's used to my grandfather saying, you know, this, you know, the day of the year. I just want to let you know, if you want, a lot of times it's a Thursday. You know, he got saved on a Thusday. He got filled with the Holy Spirit on a Thusday. This was a Saturday. We were, I can tell you right where we were, though. We were in Indianapolis, Indiana at the Hyatt Hotel. That was at least called Hyatt at the time. Right next to the Indianapolis Convention Center, where we were fixing to have a meeting. I was a crusade director, and we were sitting at the restaurant there at the Hyatt Hotel. It was just me and my grandfather. Very unusual. My grandmother did not go on this trip. I actually had a bowl of tomato soup. I did eat food, by the way, but I had soup. I took a slurp or spoonful of soup, had it in my mouth, and my grandfather said these words, I'm worried about your grandmother. And when he said that, I almost spit the soup on me, him, everybody else, because I never heard my grandfather say he was worried in my entire life. But the interesting part about it, as soon as those words came out of his mouth, the next three words were, no, no, no. Then he said, I'm not worried. But I am concerned. And then he talked about, you know,
you know, her sickness and things like that she was, you know, going through. But it really taught me something that no matter if you are the greatest man of faith or whoever you might be, sometimes we say things that we don't want. And sometimes we say things that we don't mean. But when you do that, whenever you say something that you don't want to say, immediately your brain should be saying, no, no, no. And then you can take it back. You know, and that was, you know, an interesting thing. But it was a teachable moment to understand that, you know, because sometimes we think, well, this is a great man of faith or whatever. But we all have weak points. And we all say things. I mean, you know, the devil is the same to all of us. You know, he's there to steal, kill, and destroy. To all of us. All right? And, you know, because sometimes you're going to say things that you don't want, but you can take it back. You know, but don't march around. You know, it is interesting that it seems sometimes that when we have a sickness or disease, whether it might be the flu or cancer or whatever, it's like we carry it in a briefcase and say, I have cancer. I have the flu. I mean, you know, just drop the flu, drop the cancer, get rid of the suitcase, and quit telling people. You know, and it's like, you know, everyone you meet, you want to tell them you're sick. You know what? Most of the time, if you have flu symptoms, you probably don't have to tell people. They probably can figure out for themselves. You know, I mean, they, you know, it's pretty obvious. All right, you don't have to tell people that. But you know what? If you can believe, all things are possible. There's a big if, though. You know, and I always joke about the Shakespeare gospel, to believe or not to believe, that's a question, but that's really the truth. You either believe it and you receive it, or you don't, and you don't get it. All right, I want to look at Mark chapter 5, we all know this story, but we're going to read it again. Mark chapter 5, verse number 25, it says this, now a certain woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. Had a flow of blood for 12 years, actually, it says this, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So here's a woman that must have had some money because she went and saw every doctor, every person that she could, and they couldn't do anything for her. I mean, for 12 years, she suffered. But praise God that one day she heard about Jesus. Well, here's the thing about it is, I mean, I believe that most everyone in this church have heard about Jesus a long time ago. So what are you waiting for? It says this, you know, verse number 27, when she heard about Jesus. As soon as she heard about Jesus, she said, you know, so her brain was saying, I'm going to get rid of this sickness because I've heard about Jesus. Well, what's your brain saying? Is your brain saying, well, I'm going to have the flu even though I've heard about Jesus? You know, the deal is that I guarantee you that everybody here knows more of the Bible than that woman did. She had just heard about Jesus. Not only have you heard about Jesus, you know, I'm willing to bet that many of you have read the entire Bible through. I'm willing to bet that many of you have scriptures that you read every day. I'm willing to bet that most of you can actually quote every scripture that I have even said this morning. I'm willing to bet that most of you know the Bible says that by his stripes you were healed. This woman didn't know nothing. She just heard about Jesus. Just because she heard about Jesus, it was life-changing. But you know about Jesus and it's not sometimes. What's the difference? She was hungry and ready. And sometimes we're like, well, it's just the flu. I can deal with it. Yeah. See, unless it's a terminal disease that's going to kill you, your brain says, oh, I can just deal with that. I can deal with that on my own. It's okay. It's not okay. Right. Nobody wants to have the flu. And no one wants to be around someone who does. Anyway, besides the fact that they're sneezing, it's not, and they're also irritable. It's one of the side effects. All right, irritation. Of course, I'm just irritable anyway, no matter what. I mean, not irritable. I just like to give people a hard time. Anyway, I like to irritate people. It's kind of my nature. Anyway, so
When she heard about Jesus, what'd she do? She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Why did she touch his garment? Do you realize that this is the only place in the Bible where I saw some kind of theology or where some lady says, if I just touch his garment, I'm going to get healed? Where'd she get it? I don't know. You know, but you know what? She believed it. Because she said, for if I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. So she, in her mind, thought. Now here's the thing. Do you realize for 12 years this woman had went to many physicians, spent all that she had, and didn't get any better? But because she heard about Jesus, her mind said, well, you know what? I'm going to go touch his clothes, and when I do, I'm going to be healed. I mean, that's amazing. Now, you know what? She had what she said. And she did what she said. And I like to point out, because many people don't realize, that Mark chapter 5, we're still under the old covenant. Now, if you're still under the old covenant, and the reason we're still under the old covenant, because Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. He hadn't arisen from the grave yet. He hadn't defeated Satan yet. So we're still under the old covenant. Well, in the old covenant, Mosaic law is still reigns supreme. What does Mosaic law say? It says if you have a blood disease, because I have read the Bible through 7 times. How do I know? Because we did it every day. You know, we started with a Bible program. Then we started with the 1-year Bible. And the way it was is my mom had to reread the Old Testament because we're not good readers, especially when you're kids. I'm not saying now as an adult. And then we would take turns. I say we, my dad, myself, and my sister would take turns reading the New Testament and the Psalms and the Proverbs or whatever. So we read the Bible through. And because I read the Bible through, because I know the Mosaic Law, it says that if you have a blood disease, that you're supposed to quarantine yourself. And everyone here knows about quarantine now. Courtesy of COVID. Now quarantine yourself, and it didn't say 6 feet apart. It says quarantine like stay away from everybody. And if someone comes around you, according to Mosaic law, if you have a blood disease, because blood disease were like cooties or COVID or anything like that, that you need to cry unclean, unclean. That was what you're supposed to do so people stay away from you. Now here's the thing. There are a multitude of people around Jesus. I have a picture of a multitude. I should have gave it to him so I could have put him up there. I took it in Disney World the other day. I was standing through a multitude of people waiting for the fireworks and took a picture and said, I'm going to use this picture someday because there's a multitude of people around here. We're all crowded like this to watch the fireworks. Which, you know what? If you have YouTube, you can watch the fireworks at home. Because do you know that there were 20,000 people videoing those fireworks while they went off? And I call them fireworks because now if you've seen the Disney show, it's not just fireworks. They changed the castle into all kinds of different things and everything. It's on YouTube, all right? If you want to see the Disney World fireworks. But there are a multitude of people there watching these fireworks. There's a multitude of people around Jesus because the Bible says so, and why not? This is the greatest man to ever walk the face of the earth. All right, you know, anytime you see famous people, you see a bunch of people around them. First of all, they have their entourage. Secondly, then they have all the photographers and all the, you know, people. Then you have normal people that just want to touch them. And so, you know, so it's pretty hard to quarantine yourself if there's a bunch of people. But it didn't matter that this woman had to break the law to get to Jesus. I mean, you know, that's the thing. She was willing to do whatever. We're not even willing to even say a prayer sometimes. This woman was dying. I mean, you know, she probably didn't feel like getting out of bed. She just didn't have the flu. She was dying. But she pushed through the crowd. Why? Because she said, if I just touch his clothes, I shall be healed. But in order, if you say it, you got to do it. And so she pushed through the multitude to touch his clothes, even though it was illegal, even though it was against the law, even though it wasn't easy. She was, this is my personal thing. I think that she was like the little engine that could. You ever heard that? You know, You know, I think I can. They got to the point, I know I can. I believe that she would say, you know, she said, if I might touch his clothes, but I believe she changed that if statement to when. And you need to change that if statement to when. You know, when I believe, all things are possible. You know, when I touch his clothes. So as soon as she touched his clothes, she was healed. So I believe she was saying, you know, she was pushing through the crowd, when I touch his clothes, I'm going to be healed. I believe she was thinking about, because realize this woman was sick, this woman was weak, but I think all her mindset was thinking about is how awesome it's going to be when I touch his clothes. She wasn't thinking about the people. She wasn't thinking about the crowd. She wasn't thinking about anything. She was thinking about Jesus Christ and her healing. And that's what I tell people to think about whenever you're here in line. In a few minutes, we're going to minister healing to the sick. And I want you to think about Jesus Christ and your healing and how awesome it is not to be sick. You know, and I've heard many people talk about, you know, they say when someone passes, well, praise God, you know, they're not sick anymore. They're not hurting anymore. You know what? It's a whole lot more to praise God that you're not hurting anymore when you're down here on the earth. You know, and sometimes that's even, we even get that mentality, well, it's going to be good in heaven. And I get it. I mean, we read the Bible and Paul says, you know, to die is far better, but I'm not ready to die. My work here on earth is not done. I haven't completed my thing. I haven't finished my course with joy yet. You know, and so, but here she was. She pushed through the crowd and she said, For if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Verse 27, it says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. So when she touched his clothes, immediately she was well. Why was she well when she touched his clothes? Because she said so. Because she believed so. Because she had what she said, and she got what she did. And I love it. My grandfather always says, when she touched him, he touched her. Now you realize other people were touching him and they got nothing because they didn't expect anything when they touched him. All they expected to do was to feel Jesus. I mean, I had one time, one gentleman came to me after we were having a camp meeting downtown, and I just had a huge healing line. And we were wearing suits, and I was very sweaty. And this guy comes up to me after the healing line and says, can I shake your hand? I just want to touch you and see what it feels like. And I said, sir, you can shake my hand if you would like to, but I tend to sweat a lot in my palms, and you're going to feel a sweaty handshake. But if you want to feel a sweaty handshake, here you go, sir. And he felt a sweaty handshake. He didn't get healed because he wasn't expecting a healing. He just wanted to see what it feels like. And that's what everybody else around, they were doing the feels like thing. Because it says this, and Jesus, immediately knowing himself that power had gone out of him, turned around to the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples, mainly Peter, said to him, Jesus, are you crazy? The multitude is touching your clothes. And you say, who touched me? Now, I'm kind of giving the Craig paraphrase version there. The thing about it is many people were touching him and nothing happened because the healing power didn't go out of him until someone touched him with a touch of faith. See, it's your faith that unlocks the power. It's not the touch that matters. In a few minutes, I'm going to touch a lot of people on the forehead, and you're going to get healed or not get healed depending on your faith. If you believe, you will receive. If you don't, you're not going to get anything except maybe a sweaty hand touching your head. But usually I only use my just two fingers because my whole hand's sweaty. I don't want you to feel a sweaty hand because I can feel sweaty in my hands right now. That's why many people don't know that I used to be a percussionist, and so sometimes I'd have to wear gloves because the drumsticks would slip out of my hands because my hands get sweaty. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the anointing or just sweat, okay? Haven't figured that out yet. Because sometimes I have sweaty hands when the anointing is not really there. So I think it's just sweat. It's called
you know. My feet also sweat too. That's a whole nother thing. And my mom will say amen, and she's always buying, getting me the shoe paree, the big bottle out there, you know, to put in my shoes, because, and it's a genetic trace. I mean, genetic trait that all my kids also inherited. We're the stinky feet family. So that's, I guess we could all get healed of it. I don't know. Anyway, but I like to point out, so do you realize that many people, for some reason, that they think somebody's famous or they want to touch them? In fact, I actually have been in people's offices and seen people with the picture of a president they didn't vote for. And I'm like, why is that on your office? Well, because he's president, so I got a picture with him. Yeah, but you don't, I know your politics. You don't even like the guy. It doesn't matter. He's a president. I mean, you know, it doesn't, you know, if someone's famous, I mean, you just want to get their autograph or get a selfie or get something just because they're a famous person. And I always joke around about American Idol. I think it's the most funniest thing in the world. You say, well, what's funny about American Idol? Well, you know, I actually like to watch his talent shows, but, you know, you got the guy that worked at Taco Bell 3 weeks ago. You know, 3 weeks ago he was working at Taco Bell. Now he's one of the top 10 finalists in American Idol, and he's singing. While he was singing, you have people on the front row reaching out just to touch him, give him a high five or whatever, because, I mean, no one wanted to give him a high five when he's working at Taco Bell. But now he's famous. It's the same guy who was at Taco Bell 2 weeks ago that, you know, whenever, you know, hi, welcome to Taco Bell, may I take your order, you know, I mean, yeah, can I give you a high five when I get up there? But, you know, Jesus didn't work at Taco Bell, all right? He was the most famous person ever to walk the face of the earth. And everyone wanted to touch him. But when you touch him, you weren't getting anything unless you expected something. You know, because it doesn't say, well, after she touched him and got healed, then somebody else touched him and got healed. No, it doesn't say, this is the only person that we know that touched Jesus and got healed in this whole scenario. Do you realize that Jesus Christ was the same? I mean, the same power was in, you know, was there, was present to heal everybody if they touched him with the touch of faith? Of course, it says this, and he looked around to see who had done these things, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And notice the point is he didn't say, daughter, my power has made you well. He says, your faith has made you well. It's your faith that unlocks the power of God. And Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. You realize that Jesus is still the healer and he's still here today. The same power that was present there in Mark chapter 5 is present here today. The point is, if you believe or you don't believe, this woman had a blood disease, was dying for 12 years. And because she heard about Jesus, she came and touched his clothes, and she was made well of a blood disease. All right, so, I mean, if you have flu symptoms, how easy is it to get rid of flu symptoms? How easy is it to get rid of, I mean, this woman was dying. Yeah, but it was Jesus, Craig. Well, Jesus is still here. Jesus is still present. In fact, the Bible actually even says, the things that I did and greater things shall you do because I go to the Father. Now Jesus works through each and every one of us. The same power is here today. The power is present to heal each and every one of us. But it's whether we believe it or not. It's whether we expect it or not. It's whatever we think, because I'm here to tell you, if you come down here and you don't expect to get healed, you're not going to get healed. Or if you come down here and says, well, I'm just trying it out to see if it works. Well, you don't just try it out. You believe or you don't believe. That's simply where it's at. You know, and many people, and here's the thing, you know, I can tell whether you take it or not.
Now, what I'm going to do, but I normally do this while you're coming up here, but in a few moments, I'm going to lay hands upon your head. And when I do, the healing power of God will flow into your body from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. But there's a couple of things that you have to do. First of all, is whenever I lay my hands on your head, and I don't care what I say doesn't matter. If people are concerned about what I say, or people are concerned, am I going to fall? Am I not? You know, falling does not heal you. What I say does not heal you. The power of God is what heals you. And what I want you to do is when I touch your head with my two fingers, what I want you to do is say, I take my healing now. And by doing that, you know what you're doing? You're releasing your faith. All right, I don't want you to think about me. I don't want you to think about anybody in this room. I want you to think about the two things that the woman with the issue of blood, think about Jesus Christ and her healing. Jesus Christ and her healing. I want you to say that when hands are laid upon me, the healing power of God is going to heal my body. I am healed. I am well. I am whole. And I want you to expect it. You're going to have what you expect to have. You're going to have what you say you have. So let's all stand up. If you're here this morning and you have sickness in your body, I don't care if it's cancer or cold. I don't care if it's AIDS or asthma. I don't care what it is, whatever it might be. If you're sick in your body and you want to get rid of it right now, I want you to come down here. I'm going to lay my hands on your head. One way, not the only way, but one way Jesus heals us through the laying on of hands. So today I'm going to lay my hands on your head. When I do, the healing power of God is going to flow in your body to effect a healing and a cure. And once again, what I want you to do is I want you to release your faith. And when you do, when you say something like, I got it, I take it, I'm healed, that's you releasing your faith. Amen. The rest of you out there, what I want you to do is I want you either be praying with these people or I want you to be singing with them. But before I pray for these people, I want to look at this camera right now. And if you're out here, if you're watching, you know, either live or maybe, you know, watching this later on, there is no distance in the spirit. And I'm gonna reach my hands out toward this camera, and I want you to reach your hands out toward whatever device or however you're watching, whether it's on TV, whether whatever, and I'm gonna pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for each and every person that's watching this program, Father. Father God, we just thank you, those that need healing right now, that the healing power of God is flowing through these internet airways, Father. We thank you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. We thank you, Father, right now for the healing power of God working in their body. Oh, that's it right now in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. If you've been watching this and you know that you're healed, you can give us your testimony. You just send us an email, testimony@rhema.org, and let us know that you're healed. Amen. Amen. You that are down here, you know, just get ready. All right? You know, maybe you've been feeling bad. Doesn't matter what you've been feeling, how you've been feeling. What I want you to know that the healing power of God work in your body to effect a healing and a cure. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We're just going to go ahead and go to the end there and start going on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to tell you the devil's a liar, and we're not moved by how we feel. Because you know what? You might wake up tomorrow and you don't feel any different, but what I want you, instead of saying, I feel terrible, I want you to say, thank you, Father, I'm healed. The devil tries to tell you, well, you're not healed. You don't look any better. You don't feel any better, but you're not moved by how you feel. The healing power of God is working in your body to effect a healing and a cure. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Don't forget, tonight's going to be a great night. Whether you like football or not, we're going to have a super time at the NRC tonight. Now, but also, if you want to watch the game, I believe that they start the national anthem. I think 5:20, I believe, is where the national anthem starts. So
Obviously, I know normally time service starts at 6, but if you want to catch the whole game, you probably need to get there around 5 o'clock or so, especially if you want to see the national anthem and all those kind of things. And then at halftime, you know, you're not going to watch the halftime show and whatever ungodly thing that they have on there. We're going to have Pastor have us a great halftime message. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're a first-time visitor, Connection Team is in the aisle. They want to take you back. We have a gift that we have for you. Just really quickly, if you'll just go back with them to the north lobby, we want to give you that gift. And we want to say, welcome, Raymond Bible Church. And, you know, if you're looking for a church home, you know, welcome home. Amen. Amen. Well, the pastors are headed to the door to shake your hands. You can see where everyone's going to be. I'm going to be at the north door. Amen. God bless you guys. Take care. We'll see you tonight at the Super Bowl party. And go Chiefs.